AAT Birds Weekly Report is the Eagle news, notes, and analysis you need.
Fires for the end zone. Intercepted. 30, the 20, the 10, the 5. Touchdown. Matt Ware. He stepped up. He's hit and falls forward. And he fumbles the football and the Eagles have it. It's gone. And the Eagles win.
It's all birds. All the time.
How about them Eagles?
And welcome to another edition of the AT Birds Weekly Report. I myself, Johnny Uleka, is joined as always by Chip. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Philadelphia Eagles week two matchup with the Cleveland Browns. We're going to go over kind of what we liked, do short little thing on that. But what we're here tonight for is the 53-man roster predictions from myself and from Chip. Going to kind of dive into that, where we have some differences and what we're feeling with the rosters, because the rosters are never set and we know that, but I have some on my 53-man prediction, a couple things I definitely want to touch on, and I know Chip does as well. But Chip, how you doing tonight?
I'm so good. I'm so ready for Eagles football, and it's coming up quick and we're getting ready to go. And we're at the point now where we just have to get through a Colts game. Then the 53 is going to take shape officially, even though the roster kind of looks like we think it's going to. I don't foresee a ton of situations. And then is that Evan, just yes or no? Because I see Evan. Is it Evan, my buddy Evan from Camp Evan? I kind of feel like that's who it is. But regardless, I am excited. We had as 267 Evan said, all right, what's up, buddy? There was quite the brawl during the open practices. I actually wanted tonight to talk about something that the Cleveland Browns are doing.
Oh yeah. I saw that with Kevin Stefanski,
because the Cleveland Browns are going to Cleveland Brown it better than anybody. but yeah, I think this team is hungry. I think this team is ready to go. And I am as well.
Yeah. And touch on the Eagles matchup with the Browns, the game that ended up in an 18-18 tie. A couple of really good things that we did see. Again, Tanner McKee looked really good again. You know, it's still kind of going off of what you said early that, you know, we had I said Ian Book wasn't going to make the team. He didn't even play.
He didn't play. The fact that he's still on the roster right now is he's just going to eat up minutes on Thursday.
Yeah. And exactly. And
maybe.
So the tough part of was watching Mariota struggle a little bit. Didn't really run much, played more in the pocket, threw the ball a little bit, but he had his struggles. And it brings the age-old question about the backup position and everything. And for me, it's you leave Mariota there because he's still a veteran. Yes, yep. It is what it is. But you have a young guy in McKee. That's fine. A couple of players that I thought played really well that I liked watching was Christian Ellis and Zach Cunningham. I think both of them looked really well, and maybe they looked so well that, of course, we know the news that Miles Jack wound up retiring and, you know, maybe he wasn't going to make the roster, which possibly does that open the door for Nick Morrow of staying on the roster. So for me, that's what I took out of it. I liked what I saw from those guys. Of course, you know, you had some of the younger receivers and some of the veteran receivers like a Greg Ward still play pretty decent as well. And there's a lot of questions when it comes to the roster, but those kind of what I felt with the, and of course the Zach McPherson injury, that was a tough one because I felt like he was going to be that backup slot corner behind Avante Maddox. And unfortunately tore his Achilles and he ended up on the injured reserve. So that's a tough one for him, but what did you like? A couple of things that you saw, Chip, before we start getting into this 53-man roster.
So there was a lot. Number one, the backup quarterback position. I'm at a point where I'm so tired of talking about the backup quarterback position because we have a franchise quarterback. Now, we know that the most important position on the bench is the backup quarterback. Mariota did not look good. He flat out did not look good. He is going to be the backup quarterback because of the experience, because of the style. McKee has stepped up. It's been great. I could see Mariota possibly being traded before the trade deadline if McKee continues to show up in practice. But when we really need Mariota is in a situation where Jalen Hurts is not able to play. What upsets me about the way Mariota played is it opened a different door that is super infuriating, which is let's just trade Mariota for Trey Lance.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening.
It's not happening. It's not happening. I could see Lance going to a team.
He's going like, to Minnesota Vikings.
He's going to go to Minnesota.
Yeah.
It like, also opened up a door the next day, which was because there was so much talk about Nick Foles. Should we bring back Nick Foles? Should we bring back Carson Wentz? No. Stop it. My issue with the radio, my issue with the fan base, my issue with all of this situation is you have your franchise quarterback. You need a quality backup. And you can change him out every year. They traded out Minshew when they realized that he wasn't going to be a good backup. Mariota is here for 1 year. That's it. And after that, it might be Tanner McKee. It might not be. But it doesn't need to be anything more than that.
I think what you're looking for, so say next season, if you're able to get a guy like Tanner McKee to be the backup,
great.
That's great because, one, he's on a very low salary. And two, you're going to be, of course, your quarterback got a big time raise. You don't have to pay, $4 to $7 million for a backup now.
And there's no question allocated
to the other positions.
And there is no question of competition. Jalen Hurts is your quarterback. See, I've been watching Hard Knocks a lot, right? And because I always do. Aaron Rodgers is the starting quarterback of the New York Jets. Zach Wilson is way too high priced of a backup. They are hoping that within 2-3 years when Aaron Rodgers goes away, that Zach Wilson is able to take the reins because he had to take a step back. But you're seeing the same thing in Tampa Bay where, you know, your choice is between Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask. This is not that situation. There is no question that Jalen Hurts is the guy for the long term. So what you can hope to do is develop quarterbacks and turn them into capitals. Turn them into trade capital, turn them into draft capital, turn them into whatever you want to be, knowing that if they are the ones leading your team, it's because something has gone horribly wrong in the season.
Yeah, that's, lightning doesn't strike twice. I know like Carson Wentz getting hurt, you get a backup, he winds up taking you to the Super Bowl. That doesn't always happen.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't happen.
Well, it happened with
Bledsoe and Brady.
Brady, the Eagles, and it happened with, I believe, Hostetler with the Giants. So,
right.
Well, actually, no.
And Randall at the Vikings.
The 2000 Ravens. Trent Dilfer was the backup. It was Tony Banks. So it happens, but it's rare.
Right. Now, so continuing to talk about that Cleveland game, Zach McPherson, before the injury, and again, I hope he gets better. You know, it's going to be a long season for him. He looked awful. He looked downright terrible as a outside corner. Now, you mentioned that he was going to be the backup to the slot, which I could see being better positioned for him, but he was exposed up until the injury. So it was a little upsetting. It was a little frustrating. He didn't have the game that he wanted. You know, the Miles Jack thing, I was very excited about Miles Jack coming to be a part of this team. And I just, either his heart wasn't in it, his body wasn't in it, a combination of both, or like you said, he wasn't going to make the team because you started to have success from the other young linebackers. So fine. No harm, no foul. It bums me out because of the name of it all, but if he wasn't going to be able to play to a Super Bowl caliber, you know, I think that says a lot. I think that the running backs look good. I think that the tight ends look good. I think that the offensive line was okay. The big consistent thing that I have seen, and it's yet to be with Jalen Hurts back there. So let me preface what I'm going to say with that. My concern about the offensive line is they are not And again, it's been a lot of backups on the offensive line too. So the depth isn't there. They need to, you know, attend extra classes with Stoutland U. But the quarterbacks are holding the ball for too long, and the line isn't allowing them to be successful. Now, Jalen Hurts is your number one quarterback for a reason. He is going to get rid of the ball quicker. But it is a concern for me.
Yeah, and I think another thing that I liked, he's probably not going to make the roster. He may make the practice squad, but Brady Russell, the backup tight end, was all over the field on special teams. He had that touchdown catch late in the game. Mm-hmm. But I really like the type of energy he played with.
Yep.
And I liked his dance too that he had.
But like you said, he's not going to make the roster because he would have to beat out Cal Cotrera or Tyree Jackson. Or Dan Arnold.
Yeah. But he can still make a practice squad. There's 16.
And he should make a practice squad.
Which is fine. But that was just something that I saw that, you know, I like. Now, of course, they play at 8 o'clock tomorrow, which is Thursday, on Prime Video only. So it's going to be a lot of third and fourth teamers. That's what it's going to be.
See, I don't know about that.
You think it's going to be Mariota starts the game?
I'm torn because you look around the league and you're seeing some starters play. You know, you're looking at next week or this week. I don't know how the New York Jets, the Hard Knocks works, but when they play their preseason game against the Giants, all the starters are playing. So if Aaron Rodgers is going to start a game, Jalen Hurts could start a game. Patrick Mahomes played in some preseason. They're the Super Bowl champions. So I would be.
I think they use the joint practices as their.
And I get that, but all the teams are doing joint practices.
Yeah.
So I would be okay with the starters playing a drive or two.
I understand. They did last year. They played in the Jets game. They played a drive or two, but I don't know. I just don't see it. I don't see the starters being out there. You know, I may be wrong, but in my opinion, I just don't see it happening.
I don't need to see it. Let me say that. I do not need to see the starters play. I am very comfortable in what they're going to do this season. I'm very comfortable in who is going to be on this roster, who's going to be starting. Like, I don't need to see AJ Brown and his chemistry with Jalen Hurts. I don't need to see if Jalen Carter can blow up the line anymore. We know he can. I don't need to see Slay or Bradbury shutting down the future bag boy of the Indianapolis Colts. But if Anthony Richardson is going to play, why not pop him in the mouth a couple times?
Well, they did it in practice, too.
They did do it in practice. And if you don't think that Kelsey wants to prove something, so who's to say that Kelsey doesn't want to go out there and pop some guy in the mouth again? Because he's saying all the right things. He's saying the things that, oh, you know what? Hey, I got to do better. I got to act better. But in reality, you hit my running back and it was unnecessary. So I'll play.
No, and that, you know, brings up, you said you wanted to bring up the brawl quick before we get to the predictions. Like, to me, it's, you see it happening, especially towards the end of the summer. You know, these teams don't want to, like, I know you're doing the joint practice against other teams. You're not, you know, battling your own guys. But listen, I think the one thing is, which also can tie into what Kevin Stefanski said, mm-hmm. with these brawls and stuff, a lot of it, if something happens, they're not suspended or fined or anything like that because it's not an NFL sanctioned thing. It's the team, you know, they're holding a joint practice together. So it's something that's not really, like, we saw a couple of years ago, Aaron Donald taking a helmet and swinging it like a club. So you see that happening and you saw what happened with the Eagles. Now go ahead. Tell me what Kevin Stefanski, his rules in terms of fights in practice, joint practices.
So after a season of an off season of OTAs and practices and hitting your own guys, you get to these joint practices where you're allowed to hit members of the other team. And throughout the NFL, we have seen that turn into fights, brawls, unnecessarily. You know, again, I mentioned Hard Knocks for the third time tonight. I don't know if you've got a little counter, but right, you had a huge brawl multiple times between the Jets and the Buccaneers, where Sauce Gardner is being restrained. Like, no, you don't need to get in there. He's like, but I want to get in there. No, you don't need to get in there. Kevin Stefanski of the Browns. And again, the Browns are going to brown. But the Browns have a new rule where if we're holding a joint practice and you decide to fight, if you are a starter and like a known starter, you will play in the preseason game. Like, you're going to play as a punishment. If you are a non-starter or a bubble player or anything like that, a rookie, somebody without a guaranteed spot, if you start a fight, then you will not play. And you'll miss an opportunity to get your stuff on tape. I disagree with that. Because number one, you're saying how unimportant preseason games are to your starters. You're saying that they are everything to your rookies and things like that. It is also taking the fire out of the football. It is wimping up the sport a little more. The solution is the whole team runs. The whole team does stuff. The whole team is punished for a whole team brawl. Enough. You have to. It's got to stop being the individual superstar. Like, I'm sorry, but if the New York Jets want to start a fight, then Aaron Rodgers is running sideline sprints. Because then your team leaders will come up and say, I'm not doing that again, so you don't do it again.
I think the other way, too, is, you know, if these fights are happening and more frequently you're seeing this, potentially some discipline from the NFL.
Agreed.
You know, it's not NFL sanction, but the NFL pushing the teams, you're going to have to start disciplining them or we can't do joint practices anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, trying to figure something out along the lines. Because the thing is, you don't want to see somebody get hurt, which you did see with the Washington Commanders and the Baltimore Ravens joint practice when Mark Andrews slammed.
Yep.
I think it was Danny Johnson, one of their defensive backs, and hurt his shoulder.
I know. And I drafted him very early in my first draft of the year. So I'm going to really need Mark Andrews to not be questionable anymore.
Well, it wasn't Mark Andrews who got hurt. He's the one that slammed the guy into the ground. So,
but he's listed as questionable. So that's my concern right now.
Well, he's always questionable. So
that's true until he shows up.
You're going to have to live with that. So this brings us into the second part of the show and the 53-man roster predictions. So Chip and I both have our offense and our defense of roster predictions. What we can do is first we'll reveal your offense and then we can reveal my offense. And then, you know, we'll go back and forth talking. So we'll do, if you want to do yours first, we can do that. And then we'll, you know, you put yours first. I'll give you my ideas of what I think of it. And then we'll do mine and we'll do it like that.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you, Johnny. So here is my 53-man roster, the offensive side of things. I think there's no question about the quarterback position. If anything, Mariota might be a cut because McKee will be the backup because he's played so well, but I don't see that happening. Running back, I don't see there being much of a surprise. I think, you know, Swift, Gainwell, Penny, and Scott are going to be your guys. I think Sermon has looked okay, but, you know, he hasn't wowed anybody. I could see him being... Yeah, he's not even a special teams ace. You know, I mean, we have guys for that, including in my wide receiver room. My wide receivers, I'm keeping six, which is, you know, a little heavy, but I think that Britton Covey is going to be your return man due to speed. And, you know, Greg Ward Jr. will return punts as he normally does. But I think that Brown, Smith, Watkins, and Zacchaeus are going to be your guys. Tight end, I don't think there's a lot of surprises here. I think that Goddard is going to be the guy, and then you're going to have a couple blocking tight ends besides that, and I don't think Dan Arnold did enough to get a job. And then I'm keeping a lot of offensive linemen and a lot of guys that are multi-positional. So obviously you have your starting five, but Steen can play multiple positions, Sills can play multiple positions, Andrews can play multiple positions, Driscoll can play multiple positions, Opetta can play multiple positions. So I think there's that. My big thing is special teams. Is we still do not have the punter on the roster. So I do believe Aaron Sipes is going to be cut. I think they're going to sign somebody off the street who can actually kick the ball. That's my offense and special teams.
So looking at yours, the couple things that jump out to me, of course, the punter thing, which we'll get into mine then, that doesn't really jump off. It's kind of a something that we want to see. The receiving room, Mm-hmm. Britton Covey's been dealing with a hamstring injury Mm-hmm. for basically all of camp, which never bodes well when you can't get onto the field. Mm-hmm. And of course, Greg Ward, he has played really well. You know, one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just don't know if. See, my thing with Greg Ward is I don't think he's going to be claimed by anybody, so they'll be able to put him onto the practice squad. Now, looking at the offensive line, to me, I kept him on mine, but when I look at Jack Driscoll, I think that is a possibility of a trade.
I could see that too.
Because this is the last year of his deal, and you trade him, you can get yourself a late round draft pick or possibly get a player for a player swap of something else you may need on another team's bottom end of the roster. Sua Opeta, I don't know. Again, I think he's more of a practice squad. But all in all, the only couple things you saw, because I think Zacchaeus, he can you know, do punt returns too. Mm-hmm. So I think that's that in line.
I think the one thing that you said, I'm going to double down. I do not see them trading Jack Driscoll for the simple fact of while he is the best tackle in football, Lane Johnson battles injuries. He battles the mental health stuff, and you need a proven backup. And Jack Driscoll is a great backup to Lane Johnson.
No, you're right there. And he can play guard too. So you have that option as well. I like the Josh Andrews on there too, because I feel he's the backup center.
Yeah.
I don't think they want to be moving
Juergens yet. No, they don't want to move Juergens yet.
To put someone else at right guard and just shuffle everything. That's just not what the Eagles do. So I don't think that is something that they'll be doing. But mine, of course, the quarterback room is the same. The running back room is the same. Mm-hmm. The receiver room is a little bit different. I only went with five. I have Joseph Ngata as the last one, the undrafted free agent out of Clemson.
So you went defense heavy.
I did go a little defense heavy, yes. Of course, my tight ends, I don't have Calcaterra. I have Tyree Jackson. I think if Tyree Jackson stays healthy, he is more of an upside than Calcaterra, meaning that, you know, I think Calcaterra that can end up on the practice squad, but Tyree Jackson brings you size, but also receiving ability. And that's where I go with him there. The difference on the offensive line for me is I'm keeping veteran Dennis Kelly because he can play the right tackle position.
Can he? Because he's got his ass kicked.
He looked a lot better last week. So true. I'll give him that because he was not on a roster until recently. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. He is a veteran as well. And of course I went with the to be determined punter as well, because there are a number of punter battles. Mm-hmm. So I could count, I could rattle off at least three or four punters that I would like to see the Eagles bring in, not named Aaron Sipos, and keep him on the roster. So for me, I think that's something. Again, I think what I mentioned to you too, is I think the Eagles could keep basically cut Sipos and then, you know, wait for other cuts and everything to happen, you know, keep their roster at 53 without the punter and then put someone on IR, then add a punter, you know, along the lines of that, because that's a potential that I could see them kind of stashing somebody on the injured reserve list. But all in all, it's pretty easy. There's just a couple differences here and there. I feel defensive side of the ball is a little more tougher than the offensive side of the ball right now.
So looking at your things, a couple, I love Tyree Jackson on paper. I love the athleticism that he brings. I love everything that he should be able to do, but the injuries are a concern. So I still don't know if he has mastered the skill of being a tight end or if he's just mastered the skill of being a big athlete. So that's going to be a question. I worry about Joseph Ngata. So they published the targets and receptions from camp, and Ngata has almost 20 incompletions of balls thrown to him. Now, that could be for a variety of reasons. It could be bad throws. It could be drops. It could be whatever. But when you are going for the fifth roster spot, one of the bottom roster spots, almost a guaranteed special teamer, I think that that's a concern. And it also is saying something that they went out and signed a wide receiver today.
Yeah,
Freddie Swain is not going to play tomorrow.
I think
he will. How can you put him in a game where he has been on a team for less than 24 hours?
It's okay. He could, you know, maybe he's a type of player they want to see handling punts.
And there it is. So in that case, Nagata is a definite cut. I think that the wide receiver room outside of the top four had too many question marks for Nagata to make this team.
Yeah, and yeah, go Birds. Looking at Swain, because he went to University of Florida under the offensive coordinator at the time then was Brian Johnson, the Eagles offensive coordinator. So that is an interesting addition because he does have time with the Seattle Seahawks. He's played with the Miami Dolphins and the Denver Broncos. So he's not a young guy. He's been around the league. So we'll see. I think he does play. Maybe it's something they want to see. A couple of the guys I want to see before we head to the defense as guys I'd like to see them add to the practice squad receiver wise. You know, I want to see what Deion Kane has.
I do too.
I like the Devin Allen story, but I feel like it's kind of done. I'd rather see a guy like Johnny King on the practice squad, Joseph Ngott on the practice squad, and Deion Kane on the practice squad.
The Devin Allen story is very reminiscent of the Jeremy Bloom story.
Yeah.
Where you have a stud athlete and hope for the best.
Yeah. Like I said, I like the story, but I'm not going to keep a ton of receivers. If I'm going to go with the receivers, I'm going to go with some younger guys like Ngata if he doesn't make the roster, but for my roster, he does. But a guy like Freddie Swain, maybe he goes to practice squad. A guy like Johnny King, who's a young guy, but a big, you know, a bigger receiver, you know, Greg Ward to the practice squad. Like players like that, I want to see on the practice squad. I like the story, but I think the book is almost closed on that.
Now, Johnny, just answer my question here because you know a little bit better of the contract based stuff. If Freddie Swain signs a like guaranteed 1-year deal, is he eligible for practice squad?
Anybody is eligible for the practice squad. So they recently changed the rules, especially when COVID and everything, the rules were changed. That's, you know, they expanded them. Plus also you can have veterans.
Right. But there's no like limit to like practice squad eligibility anymore.
Not anymore. No,
like you could spend your career on the practice squad.
Yeah. So,
Greg Ward is a perfect practice squad candidate.
Yeah. And like I said, before we did all this COVID stuff with the practice squad expansion and everything, the practice squad, you would have to be, I think, two years basically younger, or not seasoned. So basically a rookie to about 2 years, you could be on the practice squad if you weren't on a roster for a number of times. So, but now it's basically anything. You have veterans who've played in the league for 8, 9, you know, Jason Peters started on the practice squad with the Dallas Cowboys. And
can we talk for a second here? Jason Peters is looking to play another year in the NFL.
Let's play with the Jets. He says he can help these young guys. Hey, he doesn't want to give it up. Some people, like you saw today, Corey Davis, the receiver, former top five.
He retired at 28. Jason Peters is going to retire at 82.
Well, like I said, some lose the will, lose the passion early. Some don't lose it until it's basically lost for them. But yeah, I don't know where it's going to go with that. But now we bring up the defense.
All right. So my defense, I'm keeping. Oh, I see you broke it down. So I had it as defensive line and you broke it into an edge category. Okay. So guys who are going to rush from a 3 or 4 point stance. So Fletcher Cox, Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, those are all easy keeps. Milton Williams, I kept on there because I think that he's still got one more year in his project before they kind of move away from him. Hassan Reddick, Josh Sweat, Brandon Graham, these guys are all keeps. Derek Barnett, Nolan Smith, I think there are no surprises there. linebackers, N'Kobe Dean, Zach Cunningham, those are your guaranteed starters. I think Christian Ellis has done enough. I think Nick Morrow is, he'll be a good special teams player. I kept Patrick Johnson because of the Miles Jack and the Sean Bradley removal from the rosters. So Patrick Johnson sneaks in. I kept Jobe, Ringo, and Garner. I think that Ricks has been good, but not good. I think he's a practice squad guy. And then your safeties are Blankenship, Edmonds, Sidney Brown, and Kayvon Wallace, with Blankenship and Sidney Brown as your starters.
So here are a couple things. I thought the defensive line was very light. I know you only have four guys.
I have nine guys.
I'm more talking interior guys.
Right,
the guys D-tackle. On the property, interior guys. Just think it's a little light. The surprise there with Makai Garner instead of a Mario Goodrich or an Eli Ricks, that was a little bit of interest when I saw that.
So I think that both of the guys that you mentioned are going to be on a practice squad, in which case Garner has to prove himself or he will be swapping with them. I think on this initial roster, Makai Garner is not going to have to do a whole lot, so he's going to get some more reps. He's going to be a special teams guy, but that's about it.
Yeah, and I just thought that was interesting. Otherwise, like the linebacker, you'll see in mine, I have a little bit of a difference there. I understand the Patrick Johnson, because Patrick Johnson can play special teams. That helps mm-hmm. there, but he also can help on the edge. He can play the edge. He's not really the linebacker type as a Morrow or an Ellis or as Cunningham. He's more of a edge player. He's not an outside backer, but he's more of an edge. He can help there. But he's good on special teams. And of course you're going to need some special teams players, especially with Sean Bradley and Zach McPherson, two of your best special yeah. teamers from last year going down. You're going to need to come up with a plan on how to replace those guys.
Absolutely.
Otherwise it's not bad.
Well, I know it's not bad. I made it.
Yeah, well, I've seen other things you make.
You know what? Kiss my butt. Here's yours.
All right. So the way
you got to it, I'll pull blah 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 to making this team.
Yes, he's the backup nose.
Oi.
So I have, of course, Cox, Carter, Davis, Williams, Tui Pelotu, Reddick, Sweat, Graham, Barnett, Smith, the same as what Chip had. My linebacker room is light, and I have a reason for that. Of course, safeties are the same with Blankenship, Edmonds, Brown, Wallace. And then the corners, everything's the same, except for I went Mario Goodrich because I think he is going to be the backup slot corner for the Philadelphia Eagles. So my reasoning, I wanted to keep some extra interior players mm-hmm. just because you want to have as much depth there as possible. Linebacker, I went light because I think they are going to use Edmonds and Wallace a lot more down in the box than mm-hmm. people want to realize. But also, again, I think Morrow, if they can somehow get him on the practice squad, I think that is where he goes. But they could also be looking for a linebacker who potentially gets cut by one of these teams who are super stacked. The Bears, they have a number of linebackers. Uh-huh. I definitely see one of them. The Bengals have a number of linebackers. So potentially a team that cuts one of those linebackers, Eagles could try and scoop up and get one of those players. But that's kind of where I have it there. Yeah. It's kind of – there's only a certain number of spots because I feel like some guys really – cemented themselves. Like mm-hmm. safety position, we thought was going to be a little bit of a problem, but
Sidney Brown has been amazing.
Well. And Sidney Brown's been playing well. And you have Edmonds and Wallace there as supplemental players to help, do a multitude of things on the defensive side of the ball. But of course, we're going to see something that, we don't expect in terms of a cut or potential trade.
Sure. Thing.
That always happens. But I think this is, and the team is just so talented. When you look from top to bottom, the way the roster is structured and the way that it is put together, it's really, really good. It's the top one of the top rosters, a top three roster in the whole entire league.
It is. And I've said this now on a bunch of shows, this defense has the opportunity with their front seven or their front eight, whatever they want to be one of those all time great defenses. Then you look at the weapons. Like, you know, one thing we haven't talked about is the potential addition of Jonathan Taylor to the team. And I know that's, you know, a lot of speculation, but we have to have that conversation too. Jonathan Taylor on this team, it would be absolute dominant. Because think about it, Jonathan Taylor's best years behind one of the Colts offensive line the last 2 years has been a top-tier offensive line. Now, they haven't been great, and they've abused Jonathan Taylor, but Jonathan Taylor is a top fantasy option. He is the top running back in the NFL, depending on what you want. I mean, Derrick Henry and him are like 1A, 1B.
And he is only 24.
And this is a Super Bowl caliber team. So, yes, he would be a very different alter. Like, I love Rashad Penny. I think Rashad Penny is a great option. But if you're telling me I can choose between Jonathan Taylor and Rashad Penny, I'm not having a conversation.
Yeah. And, like, depends on the cost, of course. It depends on a lot of things.
I don't want to give up everything.
He's 24 years old. He was drafted by the Indianapolis Colts when Nick Sirianni was the offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. There's a connection there. He is from Salem, New Jersey. There's a connection there. So there's a lot of connections. And I know that I did see a report, Evan Massey said the Eagles were interested in about talking. They've been one of the most aggressive. We'll see where that goes. But also, you know, looking at Jonathan Taylor as a player and what he can do behind this offensive line, it's so scary when you have those two guys in the backfield, when it's Hurts and Taylor. It's such a scary thing to think about.
Right. And then, if you're a defensive coordinator and you have the Eagles and Jonathan Taylor is a member of this team, how do you scheme that? Because are you going to stack the box, in which case Jalen Hurts has proven himself as a pocket passer and can pick you apart? Are you going to play back, in which case Jonathan Taylor and Jalen Hurts and DeAndre Swift and all of our running backs are going to absolutely blow up the inside? Are you going to play far back and play basically sticks defense, in which case Jalen Hurts will kill you with slants all day with his quick receivers who can make people miss? I mean, I don't understand how you defend that if Jonathan Taylor becomes a member of this team.
Yeah, and unfortunately, he only played 11 games last year behind a pretty beaten up.
And he wouldn't have to have the ball 20 times a game. He would still be absolutely devastating with 15 to 17 to 18 carries a game.
Yeah. The other thing about it is, too, is, of course, like I said, we would have to see what you have to give up. Mm-hmm. And I guess the Colts put a timeline for Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they got to make some choices.
Like, I'll throw this one out to you. Would you do it if so you call the Colts and you make this deal? So you offer them Kenny Gainwell, third round pick, for Jonathan Taylor. I know you would probably say yes. So you still have DeAndre Swift.
I'm less worried about that. I'm worried about the one-year rental portion. Whereas Kenny Gainwell, how many years does he have left before he's...
Well, listen, no, it comes with this. If you trade for him,
you sign.
There needs to be a contract extension.
Then yes, I make that trade all day, every day, and twice on Sunday.
Now, there could be I put this possibility out. You know, I was messaging back and forth with our buddy Matt Templin. So talk to him here and there. You know, we throw out some ideas, and I threw out this idea. What about a Gainwell, Milton Williams, and like a mid round fourth or fifth round pick for Taylor?
Yes, because here's my thing: a guy like Milton Williams, while
he's got the potential.
But he's not one of the centerpieces of this team moving forward.
He also is on the last year of his deal next year. So
he's not one of the centerpieces of this team. Whereas if you get a Jonathan Taylor and you're able to extend him, you're getting a guy who's going to be a centerpiece of your team.
And See, this is the way that I think about it too. Milton Williams is a very good talent. He's got the tools. He's got the makeup to be a very good defensive tackle.
Yes.
But the way you have to look at it though, too, is you're getting a player of the caliber of Jonathan Taylor. You have to be able to give something up that you may not want to give up. Now, the Colts need interior defensive line help. Mm-hmm. DeForest Buckner is very, very good. And Grover Stewart's very, very good. But that's really all they have. And DeForest Buckner, how much longer is he going to be on the Colts before he's gone and they kind of get rid of him to get some more picks to kind of start this rebuild of what they're doing there? So you get a guy like Milton Williams, who's young, that could step in and play some snaps there, can play snaps on the end. You get a guy like Kenny Gainwell, who then goes and fills the shoes of Jonathan Taylor and becomes a running back there, and you give a mid-round pick.
Here's mine for you. Because I already said yes to yours before you sold me.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Rashad Penny. Derek Barnett. And a third for Jonathan Taylor.
I would do it. I just got to make sure the ramifications of the Barnett with them restructuring, if it's easy to get out of that, then.
Right. Because he's on the last year of his deal, right?
I believe so. I think he has some void years. I think next year is the last year of his deal. He has one more year because it was a 3-year deal he signed last year.
So there you go.
So, I would do it. I think it would be pretty hard pressed for me to say no. And I think
here's
no, I would say, is if they say, well, we want a first round pick. No.
So here's my thing with the idea of a first round pick. I look at this roster right now and it's August 23rd. We do not, as of right this second, have any spots that are needing to be replaced by a future first round pick in next year's draft.
Yeah, but
we have either guys that are in the wings ready to go, or we can look second and third round for a early starter. We do not have anybody who, again, my definition of a first round pick is somebody who is expected to start day one at an elite level. And no position that we have is going to require that next year.
But I put it to you this way. You're a team like the Philadelphia Eagles who have some high price players who will need to find a couple high price players. First round picks are luxury because you're able to use them and to put what the Eagles have been doing the last couple of seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily drafting a guy that's going to step right in, like a guy like Jordan Davis, who kind of learned then, you know, Jalen Carter, they're expecting to step in. He's a top five, if not top talent of last year's draft, this April's draft. But looking at certain players, you want to be able to, I want the first round pick, and I'll tell you why I want the first round pick to stay first round pick, is because I would like Jeremiah Trotter Jr.
Oh, I do too.
Next year. So that's why I say no. I'm not trading a first round pick. Maybe the set one of the New Orleans second round pick that they have. But again, you could throw some players in there at a, even if they have to add a mid round pick this year, a third round this year, a third round next year. I don't care along there, along the lines of that, because they're going to have compensatory picks that they're going to be okay this upcoming draft and then potentially next draft as well. So I just wanted to bring, talk a little bit about that just because
it's everything. That weekly news that we always talk about.
Yeah, it is. So this brings up the fun game that we always like. Name that.
Philadelphia Eagles!
Jalen Cook. Let's fly, Eagles, fly. So we're going to bring
the creepy music. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to play the music. Don't worry. But I'm not going to do a hard question this week. I didn't have time really to prep a hard question. So we're just going to do the easy and medium question for you, and then we will get on our merry way.
Pretty sure we have to Uleka lock it too.
Yeah, we could do that after that. That's right. We forgot that. We got the Uleka lock coming up. We got that. All yes, right. We are ready for the season.
Yeah, Jalen, absolutely, man.
So the first question.
Okay.
You know what? I do have a hard question this week. So. Alrighty. Here
come on, Regis.
Who set or who has the Eagles' single game rushing record? Do you know?
Is it LeSean McCoy for the Snowball?
It is LeSean McCoy, 217 yards against the
Get
Detroit.
The fuck out of here. Come on. Come on.
That, again, that one was an easy one.
Yeah, Noel's chiming in too. Noel had it. Come on.
See, again, that's why it's easy.
That's where I learned the phrase squall. It was a snow squall.
Snow squall. All right. So now we get to the medium question. And... you're gonna
you're
like
laughing, which worries me.
Well, I'm the guy that always gets the colleges.
All right.
So can you tell me what college LJ Smith, the former Eagles tight end, attended?
Was it Colorado?
It was not Colorado.
It was not Colorado. All right, hold on. Wasn't Cincinnati. That's where all the tight ends go. I don't know. I don't know if Jalen... I feel like Jalen's not right.
No. Rutgers yeah. University.
Oh, it was Rutgers. Damn.
Piscataway. Alrighty. So this one.
I'm not answering.
No, you're not answering. Not sure you're going to get it, but we will see. Alrighty. So this Eagles draft selection. So in 2000, the Eagles selected this player. And I kind of gave the year, so now it's kind of going to be easy. You just go to the draft. He left training camp before the first preseason game to pursue a musical career. Later would come back and, of course, he tried to make some different rosters. He came back with the Eagles, didn't make it. Then he went to do a couple other teams. Can you name this Philadelphia Eagle? Which also, he suffered a hit to the neck in an in-season practice. And they did some imaging and they found a benign tumor in his throat that would require surgery. Some crazy stuff.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
Philadelphia Eagle. And that's name this Philadelphia Eagle.
All right.
Which now brings us to the other fun little segment before we head out of here.
It's time for the Uleka Locks of the Week. Who's your lock?
So, your lock was wrong.
Yep.
My lock was correct.
There you go.
So, brings us to this week, the final preseason matchup, Eagles-Colts. What is your Uleka lock?
Tanner McKee, 2 touchdown passes.
Oh, you son of a bitch. I'm going to go with Ian Book gets a touchdown pass.
No.
I'm doing it. Ian Book with the touchdown pass. And then after the game, they say, okay, see you later.
Bye-bye.
But next week, we have a very... It's going to be a fun show because there's going to be some reminiscing. There's going to be, it's going to be like old times. I'll just leave it at that.
I'll say that it's going to fulfill my nostalgia meter.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. But we will, of course, announce what we got going on. And of course, we do have in a couple weeks. Rob Motti will be joining us for a NFL preview, Eagles preview. So we do want to get a little bit of the insights from him, what he's thinking about this upcoming NFL season. And Mr. Bauer will be joining us on that night as well. So again, a old time sake, old crew together, with Bauer coming back on, but it should be fun. And the season is just right around the corner. So we got cut down day. We're probably going to be talking about roster cuts and stuff next week as well, talking about the Eagles season a little bit. So we'll see what happens.
I'm excited. Ready to go.
But like we always end every show with a very happy and joyful Go Birds.
Go Birds.
This is Matt Ware. Hey, for all the Eagle content you need, go follow All About the Birds. They do a damn thing. Check them out.
Hey, Eagles fans. I may be in Tampa, but I know where to find the best Eagles content out there. Check out my friends at All About the Birds.
Philadelphia, what's up? This is your boy, Freddie Mitchell, a.k.a. Fred X. It's All About the Bird.
All birds all the time.
All birds all the time.
All About the Birds provides you with weekly analysis, game recaps, informative interviews, and it's all birds all the time.